Welcome to the Rehab Your Life podcast. I am your host, Karen Malone, and I am a certified rehabilitation counselor dedicated to helping you rehab your life. Each week, I will be interviewing people to talk about how they have overcome struggles, and I will also share valuable information about a topic that will help you to move forward in your journey. I will also share tools and resources and any nuggets that I have found along the way. I will be challenging you to change your perspective, because when you change your thinking, you can change your life. This episode was sponsored by Carolyn Todd, an independent wellness advocate of doTERRA, an essential oils company changing the world one drop at a time, providing the purest, highest quality essential oils and products. Her goal is to empower you and your loved ones with health and wellness. To learn more about working with Carolyn, check out her website at http://mydoterra.com/Carolyn Todd. Hey guys, I just wanted to jump in really quickly and share a little bit about our upcoming guest. This is our Women in Business series. That's what I'm going to be focusing my guests on for this season, women who have gone through a few things and come out on top. And so I am excited to share this interview with you. It's with Cindy Tyler of Vervante. In her interview, she talks about having been worked in the corporate world for over 20 years. She did some Silicon Valley in the late 90s, but then she lost her job. And like many of us, she had never been fired before. And I know I can relate to that. And so she took what she had, which was 6 corporate customers, and built her business to over 5,000 customers today. She was divorced during that time. She had a daughter. And so most of the time she felt like she was in survival mode, but she really feels that her business is a success at this point. And so one lesson that she really stood out to me that she says is that it's not personal. It's just business. And there are times when we as women take things personally and we let it get us down. But her story is a story that I hope will inspire you to keep pushing. Even if you have to cry, get it out, keep pushing. And I just feel like throughout her interview, she just kept moving, kept loving on people, and kept doing what God had blessed her to be able to do. And so without further ado, this is Miss Cindy Tyler of Vervante. Hey guys, thank you for returning to another episode of the Rehab Your Life podcast. My name is Karen Malone. I am your host, and I am so excited for the guest that I have on today. Her name is Cindy Tyler of Vervante. You guys know that I was putting together my Rehab Your Life planner, and I finally found a company that really got my vision and helped me to be able to get it out there in the world. And so I had the opportunity to talk to the owner of the company, and she and I just really hit it off. So I said, hey, would you like to be on the podcast? And so, ta-da, she is now on the podcast. So welcome, Cindy. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much. I'm doing great.
Awesome. So I know you didn't get a chance to be able to get the podcast questions in advance, but they're really simple questions. I'm really changing the focus this year. Last year, it was about people kind of telling their medical stories. And so this year, I'm wanting to focus on women who've been through a few things, but have really made it in the business world. And so I know when we talked, we kind of went up, down, sideways, and everywhere in your story. And so the first main question is just kind of tell my audience a little bit about yourself. And then I have 10 other questions after that. So
sure.
It's open season. Just go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. We Karen and I loved our conversation. We just connected right away. It was fabulous. So thanks for having me back on. And so just a little brief history of my career. I worked at Xerox for 20 years, and then I went to a startup company in Silicon Valley and had a great time, learned all about the, this is before, you know, pre-IPO, this was in the late 90s, and learned a ton going from a real structured corporate environment to a startup company, which was just like a playground. And then we went public, and we so that was a fun time. And then we were bought by BarnesandNoble.com. So it was a very exciting time. However, it was also right when the stock market crashed in 2000. So Barnes & Noble had just purchased the company I worked for, and we all lost our jobs. So I was lucky enough that I had spent about 6 years building a business for this startup company that was print on demand. This was in 1995, and this was before print on demand was really popular or people were doing it. So I had customers, I had a few customers, and we were doing well, but the other part of our company was kind of it's similar but different than just like an online bookstore for traditionally published books, kind of what Amazon started off like. And so Barnes & Noble wanted out of the business. They fired, we had about 350 employees. They fired everybody. I was in a panic. I'd never been fired in my life without a job. So when Barnes & Noble said, you need to take these customers you have and you need to make them go away, because we don't want to be in this print-on-demand business. So I said to them, you want them to go away? Does it matter where they go? And they said, nope, they just need to go away. So I started Vervante in 2 weeks.
Oh,
I didn't
wow.
really know what I was doing. I just took a risk, okay, because I knew we had something. We were on to something with this print-on-demand concept. So I took a couple people with me, and we had to make a home for these customers like in 2 weeks. And so I just, you know, gobbled together some off-the-shelf type software for, you know, to get something going. And we still have, 21 years later, we still have most of those were corporate customers. Customers like IBM, we worked with then, we still have IBM now. So here we are, 21
wow.
years later. I got very, very lucky that I was able to take that experience I had at that startup company and just take a leap of faith that I could take that experience and turn it into a business that was able to last 21 years so far. So that's the quick rundown.
Awesome. Awesome. So that actually gives a really good lead into question number one, which is how did you reach your level of success? And so, you know, from that scrambling it together in 2 weeks to now 21 years later, you know, tell us a little bit about some ups and downs that might have occurred over that 21 years.
Oh, boy. So really, it was just persistence and a belief that I knew we had something unique and something that I could offer customers that I really wasn't sure. Like, I have absolutely no engineering back, you know, in anything like that. I just know that if people ask for it enough, there's got to be a way to build it. And so I was lucky enough that I found a great group of programmers that I worked with on a consignment. I mean, they don't work, I hire them as they don't work for me full time. But I have great engineers and programmers that see my vision. So if I, you know, think something will work, I just work with these guys to make it happen. And I think it was just persistence. I'm really stubborn. So I just didn't give up. If something needed to get done, I am just like, we're just going to plow through this until we figure out a way to do this and just keep at it. You know, there's a lot of mistakes I made along the way. I learned things, you know, that were costly, that, you know, I made mistakes that were expensive, but we always took those and turned them into, okay, lesson learned. How are we going to make sure this never happens again? And that's even to this day, we still do it. We still make mistakes that, you know, based on changes in the world, in supplies, and all the things that happen, you know, it's hard to always anticipate what's going to happen. How can we avoid problems? So it's just kind of like it's a ebb and flow kind of thing. You know, I think I've just learned to follow kind of how things go and not try to be so rigid that you can't adapt.
Right. So actually, I'm going to stick on number one a little bit and ask an additional question. Do you consider yourself successful at this point, 21 years in?
Absolutely. I think looking back on, I literally had a handful of clients 21 years ago. We started the business with maybe six clients, six corporate customers. We were just printing books. And I was divorced. I had a daughter, and I knew I had to have a job. So I just knew we got to make this work. It was kind of out of, you know, survival. So I took those six customers, and here we are 21 years later. We probably have 5,000 customers in our database that at some point are doing something with us. They aren't all doing something. We're not printing something for all of them every month, but over time we've accumulated, you know, 5,000 customers that do various things with us. So,
wow. That's definitely success.
Right. And we've paid the bills, and my, you know, I'm not homeless. I'm like, I'm doing pretty good.
Right. Right. So question number two, then, what is your why? I think I got it from what you were saying, but what is your why? You know, people always ask that question.
Yeah. You know, my real motivation was never, I just wanted to pay the bills. You know, I know this type of business is never going to be one of those where you're going to make millions and, you know, retire early. It's really, I love helping people, and I love helping people get their vision in the world. And with my background in print and distribution and publishing, I was able to capitalize on an opportunity that was just presented to me when I lost my job, that I was able to really take that experience that I had learned on somebody else's nickel and just go with it and, you know, take what I loved. And it's crazy because here we are, I've been in this business over 40 years, and every customer I talk to, every job we work on, I'm as excited to work with that client on their project, whatever it is, as I was 40 years ago when I was just starting out in this printing business. So I still love, love, love the business, and I love helping customers and authors get their message out into the world.
Yeah, I agree with you. As a counselor, sometimes, you know, people are like, this is where I want to be, but they don't know how to get there. And then the magic shows up, and then everything comes together, and then like, aha, and then they get to where they eventually want to be. And so I get that, that magic piece doesn't go away. So I can definitely see how working with the customers, and it's brand new every time. And so that keeps you going.
Love it. It's exactly right. I mean, a book is still a book, or a planner is still a planner, but no two books or no two planners and no customer and their vision is ever the same.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's always just something fun. And I feel really lucky that it's not a repetitive type business. Everything is very different, which has also been what's fun about this business, is that we did start out as just a book printer. We still print a lot of books, but over time, as 21 years ago, things have changed so much that, you know, the small business, home business based type customer, that business just, you know, exploded over the last 20 years. So our business went from just book printing to, in the old days, lots of CDs and DVDs, home study type programs. Now, you know, we're kind of in a phase where planners, journals, card decks, training and coaching products, you know, that seems to be kind of where the trend is now. But it's, you know, it's all still very, all the things we've always done are still very popular. It just kind of trends kind of come up and go.
Right, right. I was checking out your website this morning, which is vervante.com, and it looks a little different since the last time I saw it. And so it says, where inspiration flows and business grows. I love that on the front of the company website. And, you know, you do a blog and all kinds of different things. And it, and I will, you know, from a customer perspective, it does look more user-friendly. I love the different blocks right there in the front where it's like, do you want this, this, or that? So definitely more user-friendly. So that's a little bit of customer feedback.
Cool.
And so the next question, how do you balance work and life responsibilities? Well, of course, your daughter is probably an adult now, but can you share a little bit about when you were really growing the business? How was that? How were you able to balance it all?
You know, I don't. I mean, that's a really hard question because I love my work, and of course I absolutely love my daughter, and now I'm a grandma, so it's, you know, it's great. But I think as a business owner, I honestly don't know how you can balance. I give everything to my work, and I love it, you know. So I don't know how to balance because I don't know how you can be. I personally, for me, I can't. It's always top of my mind. I'm always thinking about it. How can this be better? What can we do on the website? What services can we offer? So I get my motivation from work. So I'm not a good example of balancing. As when my daughter was younger, of course, you know, I would take her to school, pick her up. We'd spend time together in the evenings, homework, all that stuff. And then as soon as she was asleep, back to the computer. So I just love it. So for me, I struggle with that because I love it so much. It's not work to me. It's joy. And so I'm not a good balancing. The beautiful thing, though, about my job is that as long as I have internet, I can be with my family in wherever we, you know, if we want to travel and a vacation, as long as I have my computer, you know, I have some flexibility built into my job, which is amazing.
Right, right. And, you know, I love that too. And I think most women can definitely relate that it's hard to find the work-life balance. I have learned to try to be present and in the moment when they're in front of me. You know, asking me a question, because I remember one time my daughter asked me something really silly on purpose. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, so you're just going to let me go and jump off the bridge, huh? You know, so I learned to, when they're in front of me, stop, you know, shut the brain down and just be present and focused and in the moment. So, you know,
I agree. That's a great life philosophy.
And especially with the grandkids, too.
Yeah. I try to live my life like that. I try to live in the moment. And if I'm, you know, on a call with a customer like we are now, I'm really present. I enjoy the conversation. I don't try to multitask and try to get, you know, 72 things done right now.
Right.
But that's exactly, you know, when I'm with my grandson and my daughter or friends, I think that's a really important way to live your life, because God knows with everything going on.
Exactly.
You just need to make sure that every moment counts.
Exactly. Okay, so next question, question number 4. You hadn't mentioned this in kind of your conversation so far. Who inspires you and why?
That's a good question. I really get my inspiration from customers. I've made a lot of friends along the way. I love, you know, it's interesting in this internet world. In my old life, when I was a sales rep for Xerox, you had a territory, like a zip code. Mm-hmm. So you actually, you know, met people face to face, and, you know, I did make a lot of friends in that, from that standpoint. But in this internet world, you know, I have been so lucky to meet wonderful people through the phone, you know, through business. And I just love that the world now is just, I have made friends / customers over the last 20 years that have turned out to be great friends.
And right.
That's really, I mean, to me, that's like there's no boundaries. The world is your possibility with work and friends and your little community that you build. I think that's really pretty amazing. And from a work perspective, our customers have really driven kind of the direction of our business over the 20 years is that when we hear that this is what customers want, and it's something we already do or can just adjust our business, our core business, we just kind of, I think of it kind of like a, that's why water is a big part of our business. I use water in a lot of our images and our, a lot of our, you know, marketing content is, I feel like water is kind of like you just go with the flow. It is right. What it is. And instead of fighting it, we just kind of go with it. So I think that, you know, for me personally, that really brings me inspiration for our business, for our products, for my life. It's customers.
Okay. So question number five, what advice would you give to the next generation of female leaders like yourself?
That's a great question. Nothing is easy. There's no like easy way to get rich. There's no, it's nothing. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, everything takes work. It takes persistence. You have to be consistent. You have to do what you say you're going to do and you have to keep at it. And I think I see a lot of, you know, younger people thinking that some of us, you know, who've been around a long time that it's easy. It's not easy.
Wow.
I think if you love it and you're passionate about it and you stick with it, you can make it work. But it just takes work.
Yeah. Even when you breathe it, like you were saying, you know, as soon as the kid goes to bed, you're back at the computer.
Yeah.
And I'm like that too. They look at me like you're still in front of your computer. I'm like, but I'm available, yeah. You know, just let me know. But I'm always working on the business. And so I feel like you breathe it. But even from a breathing it perspective, it is still work. You still have to push and grind and tweak and all of those things.
It is.
So then question number six, it goes right into that. What is one lesson that you've learned throughout your journey in entrepreneurship?
Oh boy.
I told you I was trying to get the questions to you beforehand.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good one. You know, I would say that nothing is, you know, success doesn't come without pain and work. And and also that it's not, sometimes when I've, you know, struggled or made mistakes that have been either costly, or my personality is I don't want people to ever be mad at me. I don't like conflict. I want to help people. I don't want them to not like us or not like me. So when things don't, and think that's just not life, you know, that's unfortunately everybody can't like you and everybody can't always be happy. But I've learned that as long as you're doing your best, and you have the best of intentions, and you're giving it your best effort, and you're being honest and fair, if it doesn't work out, it's not personal.
Yeah.
You know, it's still work. And I think I used to take those kinds of things very personal. Like, why don't they like us? I don't understand. Why don't they like me? What did I do wrong? And at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, thank God for, there's other people have options, you know, it's a competitive market. So we do our best. And I have learned that, you know, people oftentimes, email is such an important part of communication, but oftentimes the way you receive an email is not necessarily the way it was meant or intended. And it's, I think I've learned that it's communication. If you can, you know, clarify, pick up the phone, talk to the person. Don't take it personal.
Right.
And it does not always meant to be personal. And it's not always the way it comes across in writing.
Right, right. I love that it's not personal. It's just business. And like you said, there are there's so much competition that they can choose to go somewhere else and that
right.
you have to not take it personal. So
right.
Question number seven, what are some of the traits needed to be successful and how do you exhibit those traits in your business?
Okay, so stubbornness is not a good trait, but when it comes to work and business, I think it's very beneficial that you don't give up. You know, I think you can be flexible in your stubbornness that you want to get something done and you're going to stick with it until it's done. But I think the stick to it and consistency and persistence, for me, that's, I think, been the driving factor in our business. And I, you know, I think the way I exhibit that is we oftentimes get a request for a unique, something unique in our business. Maybe it's something we don't offer, but a customer might come up with a, you know, a question. Hey, is this something you could do? Or could you do it if I did this? And I love that. I always love when a customer is creative, and I go back to our team and we figure out, is there a way we can do this? And we do maybe a prototype, we do a couple, you know, whatever it is. And we end up, oftentimes, it becomes part of our offer.
Right.
Of, you know, something we then turn into what other customers might need.
Right, right. That's awesome.
Right.
So question number 8, what have you sacrificed both personally and professionally at various stages of your career?
That's a good one.
I tried to make all of them really good.
Yeah. So in the beginning, honestly, I took a big risk financially because I had always worked for a company. And so like I was explaining about engineers and programmers and support staff, as an employee, you're always telling everybody your boss is stupid, right? And they don't know what they're doing. But when you become the boss, you're like, oh boy, now I got to make these decisions. So it was expensive in the beginning because I had to invest, you know, a lot of personal money into the business to get it started. I didn't have a support staff. I didn't have investors. I did it all on my own. So I knew I had a vision, so I was willing to risk money, financial, my savings, and some things to invest in the business to get it going. So that was a pretty big risk in the beginning. But in the end, you know, I knew if I stuck with it, it would pay off. So from a sacrifice standpoint, I think my daughter and I, in the beginning, we didn't travel a lot. We didn't were able to do much because I was so tied to getting the business going. But once things got better, we could travel and do more. As far as personal, I'm still single, so it's hard. I have a boyfriend, but it's hard to have much of a personal life when you love your job so much,
right?
And you're really committed to it. So I wouldn't say it's a sacrifice because truly I do love it. But it is something that I was willing to kind of, you know, find the right relationship where he understands that, you know, my job is really important and
right.
I love it.
Right, right. So question number 9. So this is going to be light question. I'm not going to hit you with no more doozies. Question number 9. Where would we find you on a Saturday morning around 10 a.m.?
You know, I try, as much as I tell you I love my job, I try to give myself a mental break. And Saturdays, most of the day on Saturday, I try to not work. So I, you know, pretty much work all the time. But Saturdays I take a break and I give myself a break. I live near the ocean. So I try to spend a lot of time outside, take a walk at the beach, you know, take some time for myself, maybe get my hair done. So I try to have some downtime.
Okay. Awesome. And so last question number 10, and you've kind of weaved it in there throughout. So how does your faith play a part in your success?
You know, I think the universe gives you what you give out. And I believe that if you're a good person and you give are honest and you do what you say you're going to do and you, you know, you're not trying to sell anybody smoke and mirrors, I think you get back what you give. And I believe that good things come to good people, and if you know you do the right thing, you're gonna get rewarded. And I honestly believe that 21 years starting a business in a recession, surviving the recession in 2008, and then 2013, and now 2020, I believe that that's not luck. That's a lot of hard work, but it's also, you know, the universe giving back what I've given for 21 years. So I think it comes down to integrity and being honest and having good values and doing what you say you're going to do.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. If anyone out there is listening who wants to get their book written or has an idea for a product, you know, our goal is to make it really easy for the first time author, the first time product, you know, developer. If you are interested in creating something fun, whether you're an artist or you have a story to tell, you know, let us know. I think this publishing world can be a little intimidating, and I want to try to make that not. So it's like you said, Karen, we try to make it easy. You know, we try to make it really user-friendly, and you don't have to print a lot. We can literally print one. So if you're interested in doing something like that, please take a look at our website.
And so tell everyone your website and your social media handles for whatever, if you're on Instagram or Facebook.
Yep. So our website's vervante.com, and I think you can find us on both Facebook and Instagram at Vervante. I've been blessed to build this business over the last 21 years with word of mouth, so we don't do a lot of marketing or social media. We do have a blog and a website. We do a newsletter, so you check out our website. I think you get most of the information there.
This episode is sponsored by my book, Lose to Win. It's all about my journey as a believer going through the hardest times of my life, the loss of my child, battling cancer twice, and much more. I share tangible tips on how I managed to keep my sanity through it all. It's available on Amazon.com. I hope that you pick up a copy today. And there, so you have it. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Rehab Your Life podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and share this episode with your friends. Please subscribe to my podcast so that you can get the latest episodes. Also, check me out on Facebook and Instagram at Rehab Your Life and 2. I hope that you have a blessed week. Goodbye for now.